Over the years, we've brought you blockbusters, box office bombs, sports films, and Air Bud. But there's one genre at Apocalypse Video that has been grossly unappreciated. Until now. Because this summer, we're pumping up the volume. From the video store that brought you Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volumes 1 through 3 comes the newest, most exhilarating Summer Film Fest yet. Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now that's what I call dance movies. Featuring films like Flashdance, Saturday Night Fever.
We just washed the hair. No, I work on my hair a long time. And you hit it. It hits my hair.
Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights.
Is this square? Is this square good or bad? It's bad. See, this is square.
Magic Mike.
Can you talk to me?
All of your favorites are here. Plus, a few surprises.
She got her head in the guy's lap all right. Yahoo.
So get ready for the hottest moves you've ever seen as Apocalypse Video brings you Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now that's what I call dance movies. And it starts now.
Far from home, a girl struggling to fit in.
A bunch of us are going to our country club on Saturday. Would you like to go with me?
I really do have a lot of work to do.
On Saturday night.
We'll meet a boy she never expected.
I'm Katie. What's your name?
Javier.
Who will show her a world she never imagined.
Look at the way they feel the music.
And they're feeling it all right.
Do you mind if I dance with your date?
Well, you'll have to ask her.
Okay. Hey! There's this dance contest at the palace. You'd have to be my partner. Honestly,
you're a pretty good dancer.
I was terrible.
Yeah, you were terrible. It's a dance about being exactly who you want to be in that moment.
Y tu mamá también's Diego Luna. And introducing Romola Gary.
Where's Katie?
Just wait. So baby, stop. You're so bad. I got my love.
Hello, folks, and welcome back. We're in Studio 69 in Bartertown, and with Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Part 4, now that's what I call dance movies. I'm your host, Dave, and again, I will not be talking like this for the rest of the episode, thankfully. I'm joined again by guests, Ryan.
Dave, I didn't want to waste the music.
Ryan, dance with you is like dance with my mom's ironing
board. Hey! Oh. I was going to say that one. You punkin'.
I'll introduce Jana last so she can come up with a new line from the movie. I'm also joined by special guest Kara.
I already know the foxtrot.
I know. You've been to, what's the name of that place in the Catskills? Peterman's?
Yeah.
No, something like that?
It's similar to Peterman's, but I think it's got like a weird name.
Like, oh, gotcha.
Scooterman's.
Well, it's still being built. It's still being built. As we all know, we're in the year 1958. That probably won't be built for at least another 5 years, sometime in the 60s. And I'm also joined by special guest, returning to the show, Jana.
Why do you have to be such a guy? Okay, I'll be the girl.
Guys, we're back in the world of Dirty Dancing. It's been a couple years,
but
we're back.
Our favorite cinematic universe.
Yes. Well, not quite. We'll talk about that in a second.
I mean,
I thought so too.
It is the movie that started this whole idea. wasn't it? Dirty Dancing.
Well, we knew we were going to be watching Dirty Dancing 2 at some point in the future, but we didn't know when. But what better time than a summer film promotion revolving around dance movies? And this movie does have dancing in it. It fits the criteria.
Lots of dancing.
A lot of sexy, dirty dancing. And well, you have to forgive us, folks. We are in Cuba right now, so there are a lot of wild animals around. So.
Wild animals? Oh, oh, he's referring to the dog.
Yeah.
I'm like a wild animal.
I'm not just talking about us podcasters. I'm talking about actual wild animals. But Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, it came out in 2004, and there's like a Mandela effect memory I have with this movie, specifically the trailer. Do any of you guys remember the trailer for this movie when it came out?
Not really.
I do. I couldn't remember it, but I remember like being in a theater and seeing it and everyone kind of laughing when it was like said dirty. It was called Dirty Dancing or something.
Well, because it was like it was one of those sequels where it's like, really? A sequel to that now?
Okay, I'm remembering something from the trailer. Maybe I just made it up, where it was like Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Yes.
And it
oh,
was
yes.
like super
yes.
intense.
Yes.
For Havana
okay,
Nights
I
part.
Do remember
That's
that. Yep. That's at the end.
Well,
yeah.
The Mandela effect part I have with this movie is I swear to God, I remember at the end of the trailer when that's showing like footage of them in like a dance club or something, I swear I remember like Patrick Swayze walking up in a leather jacket, like, oh, he's in the movie. They've got her back for the movie. But I've looked through the trailers, and that is not there. So I don't know why I thought that.
Maybe they had to take him out.
Maybe it was like a spoiler. They're like, he's probably not
yeah,
coming back.
Yeah, maybe
for
they
this
had
movie.
To retcon take it out.
I mean, but they definitely filmed him later and put him in this movie, for sure.
Well, he feels like... Yeah, you can tell his scenes are kind of separate, but I was shocked that his role in the movie is technically more than a cameo. It's like a small role, but it's a role nonetheless.
He's at the end when they're doing their dancing thing, nodding his head like, "Yes, this is."
Yeah, he's legacy. Yeah, it's like yeah. it's like he's like green screened in there into the into
I didn't
the
even
scene.
Notice that.
Well, I don't know if he was, but it just looked like it was just totally separate.
It felt like, yeah, he was off to the side of the room, and they're like, no one's going to notice. It's just with some people around you.
And it's we'll, like it's don't... like a neck shot, like necking up. It's like...
yes. He's basically doing that moment for Rudy where like the guy like nods and like claps like, yeah, Rudy, you did it.
He
you know?
Was probably just a hologram.
Well,
they hologrammed him in there.
I mean, this is just skipping ahead, but I was like, when he popped up, I was like, oh, there's this movie's getting some juice. And yes. I was like, kind of thinking like, oh, cool. He's going to be like this sort of like a mentor or whatever, but he's not really. It's just, it's literally, I think it's
like one
a,
scene. Kind
it's
of.
Like, it's like a cameo plus one. It's like, I don't yeah. know. It's like yeah. cameo plus. It's like, but.
Like, but we'll talk about it. Like, you're right. When he showed up in the movie, I flung off the jacket I was wearing, and I just started, like, salsa dancing. Like, it was just a shot of energy to the movie. Because up until the point when he shows up, I would say the movie, in my opinion, was just fine. Like, it wasn't overly bad. I was like, this is just whatever. But then he shows up, and I'm like a dog. My ears perk up. Like, ooh.
Did you make Mike dance with you, Dave? You made Mike dance with you, didn't you?
Yeah, he went back
no,
to America.
Mike... No. Mike was too square to come into the club here. This is actually like the back room of Club 69 in Bartertown. This is the Havana Nights section. He was deemed too square to enter, so he wasn't able to join us, in case you're wondering where Mike is on the episode.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, or a.k.a., as some trailers dubbed it, simply Dirty Dancing 2.
Really?
Which does somehow sound cheaper than Dirty Dancing.
Well,
Havana
they were
Nights.
Like, nobody, Americans don't know where Havana is. So it was before the Havana song came out, just like 5 or 6 years ago. So nobody knew about Havana yet.
Well, who wants to take the honor of describing the plot of Dirty Dancing Havana Nights? Dana is pointing feverishly at Kara.
I'm so bad at plots. I've only done one, and it was horrible.
No, that's not true.
All right, I'll be the John Slattery here. I'll be the Howard Stark.
Yeah, Dave,
I'll
we guide can interrupt us through. You. It's perfect.
Okay, Papa Dave.
So Dirty Dancing Havana Nights is basically the exact same plot of Dirty Dancing 1, but you throw in a subplot of, we just happen to be in Cuba and there's a revolution going on. But we'll only touch on that here and there. It won't become a component really until in the movie until the last 15 minutes. Up until that,
that's the abortion story of
yes.
There is kind of another big difference, and it's that it's not a grown man seducing a teenager. They're both the same age. So
is he supposed to be grown man? I guess he's supposed
how
to be
old
older.
Is he supposed to be in Dirty Dancing?
I saw it on the Chattopee, and I never realized it because I love Dirty Dancing so much. But it's like, yeah, Patrick Swayze's character is like 25, and Baby is like 17, which you know.
Oh.
It was the
I thought
was
she was older.
She has to be 18 because she's joining the Peace Corps, right?
Well, they talk about her joining the Peace Corps later, so I don't know if she's done with high school or not or yet. I can't recall.
I think it's like after it's like the last summer or something, isn't it?
It's
something
the last like summer that? They're going, so it might be she just graduated.
Could be. So I don't have a
but
problem.
But then she could still be 17 if she just graduated.
I don't have a problem with the original Dirty Dancing. I absolutely love it. But I will say that it was nice in this one that they're, you know, both young love type of.
Oh, my God. They are babies. So the lead characters in this movie, Diego Luna, of course, Cassian Andor, looking just like just a baby, man, in this movie. I'm just like, did he just come out of, like, the cryo tube or something? He looks like just freshly born or something. I'm just used to him having that, you know, beard.
Well, it would have been, how long ago was Yumatama? I can never fucking say.
Itumama
también. Yeah. Yeah. It was a couple of years before this, so he was hot off that.
Oh, yeah, not in that movie. I think he was, like, 17, 16, 17.
Yeah, they're kids in that, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's her and an actress named Chad DB sucks. I just gotta say, I'm sorry, Chad.
Romola Garia. Did I say it?
Romola Garia. Apparently, she's a British actress, and she was putting on an American accent in this. And I gotta say, particularly during the narration, it is not good. It comes off like a bad soap actress or something.
November 1958, my senior year of high school. While other girls were dancing to Elvis and dreaming about prom dates, I was reading Jane Austen and dreaming about college. And then my parents announced we were moving to Cuba. In a week. Slamming doors and giving the silent treatment couldn't change that, but it was easier than admitting I was really scared. At least everyone else was happy. Dad got his big promotion from Ford. Mom got to travel in style, and Susie, I swear that girl could adjust in a hurricane.
I don't know why she was just like,
she had to talk so soft. Yes, it was her mouth. Her mouth bothered me so much.
I might be in love with Cuba. I'll stay with
her. She never closed her mouth. Her mouth was always like partially
open. It just must
open.
Be how she got into the accent, I guess. She had to speak slowly to talk American.
Yeah, I hate to rag on, young actress, but yeah, she's a little...
She's a flat.
A little flat is the
Ryan,
ironing
board. I don't think she's
I'm talking about her performance specifically.
So
I know, but I'm just like, yeah, you're not popping. Like,
she was an ironing board. You could have literally replaced her with an ironing board, and it would have been more
She wasn't popping like Jennifer Grey does, you know.
I thought there was virtually no chemistry between the two people.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't care if these people are in love. When did that happen? No.
And Diego Luna was trying. Diego Luna could charm an ironing board.
The
like,
pants
we
off
keep coming
anybody,
back to the ironing board. And he was
trying. He was trying, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, apparently they spent... So again, in case you're wondering, when are they going to explain the plot of this movie? It's like, well, actually...
Does no one see it? Is this the first time we've all seen this before, too? Is this...
This is the first time I've seen it. I think Jana saw it before.
Shall I make a confession? I watched it last year, and I was like, I do not want to watch it again, so I watched the YouTube clips of it.
Oh, my God.
That's a good way to refresh.
Was it really that bad?
It's just boring, Dave. You watched it. It besides Diego Luna, it is so boring.
Well, yeah. I will. If I'm giving gold stars to the movie, I will give it a gold star for an hour and 26 minute runtime. That was
with credits. It's crazy.
That was short.
True. Yeah. That's true. That is, I mean,
I would say. I mean, I know you keep trying to get the plot.
Well, no, that's what I was saying. I already explained it. It's dirty dancing, the exact same plot, but you swap out an abortion subplot with a Cuban Revolution plot, and that's it.
Yeah,
that
basically.
Is, you know the plot.
Yeah, the it's sort of like it was. Mike mentioned this on some movie recently, and I was like, oh, you're bringing down the DCOM saying that, but this had definite DCOM vibe, especially in the beginning of the movie.
Oh,
Just like the way the acting, the lighting, the editing, like just like everything kind of had like that.
The montages.
Yeah. And I was kind of looking, I was like, did these people work on made for TV movies or something? And no, it wasn't the case, but it felt very DCOM a little bit.
Oh, and we should mention, in case anyone listening is unaware, DCOM stands for Disney Channel Original Movie.
Everyone knows that.
I don't know. I just can't. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Thank you.
But it is striking. I was writing down, like, it's striking the I hesitate to call them similarities because they are just flat out what would I say?
I think it was sort of like
it's exactly the same. And I love how my favorite thing about the movie is that it says based on true events. It's like, yes, there was a revolution in Cuba and the writer was there at the time. But that's it.
Well, so if you look at the Chattopedia, right, and I think, you know, when Mike was peeping through the peephole at us all dancing in the club, he relayed to us the information that it was meant to be about the Cuban Revolution first.
Yeah.
And then I saw on the Chattopedia that it also just happened to come about the same time that the director or the producer was asked to do a Dirty Dancing too, and they were like, hey, these two could go together.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like, I mean, at least from that description, like it's almost, what if it's like this Romeo and Juliet story during the Cuban Revolution or something like that? And I'm like, oh, that could be a good movie, but
it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty basic, and just again the similarities. It's just like this is just Dirty Dancing. Like it opens exactly the same way. It's like the whole family.
She's in the car in the back.
She's in the car. She's talking, you know, and the dad. You know, the dad. It's slight differences. Like they're move. It's not them going to like a summer retreat or something. It's them literally moving their family because the dad got a job in Cuba.
Did he ever say what he does?
He works with Ford.
Oh, that's right. The cars.
Oh, you make.
But I mean, like, you know, the mom used to be a dancer or something. You know, similar to original Dirty Dancing, and just like there's a sister. There's one supportive parent and one parent that's just like no. You know, it's very similar. But the little tweaks in this one, it's the dad who's like the supportive one,
and the sister is younger. So that's different. Although I'm glad that you touched on that, Dave, because I also was like, does there have to be a shitty sibling? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, and she's the one that gets him in trouble. Like, and what the hell of it is, like, to skip ahead, as this burgeoning Romeo and Juliet-esque romance begins, they end up going to a nightclub, they dance, they have fun, they dirty dance, and then they come back, and they don't even kiss. They just, like, I think he literally, like, shakes her hand, like, I had a great evening. And then freaking January Jones and our lead character's sister are just, like, in one of the, like, cabanas or something, and they're sort of, like, peering out, you know, they're tilting the curtain down, and they're like, ooh, she's talking to one of the worker boys, ooh. Like, again, they don't even kiss. They don't even have an overtly romantic moment. It's just like, thank you for a lovely evening. Mom, she went out with the Cassie and Andor guy, that revolutionary.
First off, Dave, she told her dad.
Oh, so who's right, the okay. cool dad now?
Well, he kind of fluctuates. Howard Stark, or John Slattery, the dad, he kind of fluctuates. There are some scenes when I think he just seems more angry that she lied to them.
Yeah, I
less
think
so
that dad is cool as hell because, and I like literally through the movie, I was like, why is she lying? This guy would this guy, it doesn't seem like they would give a shit if she was like, oh, I wanted to enter this dance contest, so I'm going to be practicing dancing. Okay, great. Have fun. Like, it...
Well, and then her mom slaps the shit out of her, and you're like, oh, that's why she didn't tell them.
Well, the mom seems... Well, there's a few things going on with the mom. She's racist.
The mom slapped her because she said...
You stole my dream!
No, she said, just because you gave up on your dream doesn't mean that I have to give up on my dream or
that's
whatever.
Right.
And she
that's
was like,
right.
How dare you? I gave up on my dream because I had children, and I raised the children. That's why she slapped her, not because she was lying or dancing with that guy.
I didn't want to hurt you. I just wanted to help Javier, which is his name, by the way. Oh, God, I love dancing with him.
Oh, Katie. Did it ever occur to you that boy might be using you? Nice American girl
no,
who can be his
please,
ticket out
no,
of here.
That's
you
not
may
true.
Love dancing with that boy, but there are more important factors here, like your family and your future.
Why does it have to be either or? Just because you gave up your passion, why should I?
I think they 100% were more upset that she lied to them than that she was doing the thing. And if she had been like, hey, I want to do this thing, eventually they would have been like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, they're kind of like, the first part, they're sort of, there's like dynamics missing between like the parents to me a little bit and like the sister. Like, there's just like, it's sort of like yada yada, I feel like. And then I feel like after the actual, they perform for the first time and the thing, then there's finally like some connection going on, in my opinion, a little bit after that. Like, I don't know, for some reason that first part, like everyone feels like they're like siloed, in, I think, a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there's not really that those dynamics going on, I feel like.
I agree with that. I was just like, there's a lot of weird tonal shit in this movie.
Can we talk about someone I thought was going to be, I mean, he is a villain basically in the movie, but he kind of eventually just sort of leaves the movie. The character of James Phelps,
yeah.
who is basically, he looks like a cross between the character in Funny Games and American Psycho.
I thought that was him.
First of all, you better watch yourself, Dave, because I absolutely love that actor. I have such a soft spot for lazy eyes, and I think that he is so adorable.
He's very
cute.
Adorable.
He looked like he wanted to, like, peel her skin off and play
with it. You're just saying that because he's white. He comes off as creepy.
He's like talented Mr. Ripley or something. He was such a creep.
I didn't think
Phelps.
He was creepy at all.
No,
I thought he was
what?
Genuine.
Okay. Even the
he ripped
scene,
her dress.
Even the scene where that happens did yeah. not hit home. It was like it
yeah,
felt
it was,
like they just felt like they had to have it in there to give her a reason not to.
It wasn't
to
very
laugh.
Dramatic,
yeah.
isn't that weird?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I was like. He seemed like he seems to be positioned as the villain in the movie, but then he just kind of disappears after that scene. And after that, he kind of is like, "Hey, I'm really sorry about what happened." Blah blah blah.
And
he even goes as far as I think to sort of
agrees to cover up for
yes.
her dancing.
Yeah.
Well,
it's kind of
he agrees to help so that they don't tell people, they don't tell their parents that he sexually assaulted her. But again, going back to the sexual
but
assault,
even,
it feels like it came out of nowhere.
And even that scene where she's like, you're going to help me do this. And he's like, why would I help you do this? I wanted to date you. Now you're going to go with that guy. Why would I help you? And she's like, well, I'll just go tell our parents that you did this thing. And he's like, okay, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, no, we're hanging out.
I know.
Fine.
I know. It's funny because at that time, probably they wouldn't believe her anyway. You know, that it's like, I'm just saying, like,
true.
That could have been a whole dynamic too, because it's just like, who's going to, like, of course, it's like weird, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
it's a lot, again, it's a lot of weird tonal shit.
Maybe I'm trying to make more of this movie than it is and give the characters more
you're
substance.
Right. Yeah.
But maybe he was like, oh, I did genuinely feel bad, so if I can help her. Because I don't think
that's
he's a bad person.
It.
I think he did that. That was a bad thing to do. I do think he feels regret for doing that. And so he's like, well, I guess I can help her in this way. Because throughout the movie, he's just like, okay, yep, they're doing that thing. This is fine. Whatever.
Even at the
well,
end,
even
at
when,
the
they
end
go to...
when they dance, he's like clapping for them. And I was like, what do you want us
to do with this character.
There was a shocking moment that came out of nowhere. Because again, like, you think it's going to go one way, but it goes the other. When they go to like the Dirty Dancing Club in like the second act in the movie, he goes with her. And he literally, I mean, when they're in this club and he's in his like, you know, 50s outfit, his suit jacket and all that, he looks like the personification of stick up the ass. his posture is like, like he literally has a stick up his ass.
This rich Ford kid, you know, I guess.
Yeah, and he's just walking around
like dirty, doing more than dancing. Does not make you evil. Now, again, the sexual assault aside, because I don't think that the filmmaker did a good job with that scene. I do not think that they did a good enough job with that scene for us to be like, okay, this is not just placed here so that she has a reason not to want to be with him.
Yeah.
So taking that completely out, he's just a rich white little young lady who has a stick up his ass.
If you, again,
evil.
if you take that attempted or not attempted rape scene out, earlier in the scene when they're in the club and Diego's like, "Hey, can I dance with your girlfriend?" You think it's going to be a moment where he's going to shove him, but he literally just says, "Well, you'll have to ask her."
Right. Yes.
And it's just like, well, that was an unexpected response.
And he did expect her to say no because he was probably like, "She's racist, just like me," but. There wasn't anything leading up to that point where you're like, this guy is a dirtbag. She asked to go, and he said, yeah, let's check it out.
He immediately hopped on the bus because she was like, no, actually, we're going to this place.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, we're going to that place.
Like, up until that scene, and maybe, you know, again, it is tough because it's like it was a different time period. So it's like, yeah, it's like if you think about Back to the Future, right? And it's like that scene. But we had the entire movie up until that point to be like, yeah, this guy is a total dirtbag asshole. Of course he would, you know, do something like this. And it's just like, again, it was just thrown in there to be like, okay, this is why she doesn't want to be with this guy. So I just think it was successful.
I think, like, it's just a very... I think you're right. Like, there's like the pieces are here, I think, for like a fun, like little like teen kind of like drama and with some kind of like, and it just, it's like, it's all, everyone's a little bit like not, it doesn't have a little bit enough, I think, you know, it's just,
there's
it's almost like
commitment to anything.
And I think it's just kind of, yeah, a little bit more bare bone a little bit than it. It's almost like the first draft without all the cool kind of like details and fun little quirks.
I hesitate to say it, but this could have been longer because it feels like there was for instance, January Jones, like, again, another potential villain. Like, she's like a clear racist. You see her in the beginning.
She uses
Diego,
a slur in like the first 5 seconds.
She uses the slur, which that took me by surprise. Yes. I was like, whoa, because as you said, Ryan, this movie has a lot of Disney Channel original movie energy to it. So I wasn't expecting
at least the first part, like the first act, I think, especially with those, like, remember there's like that montage with like the photos and the editing the way it was and stuff and the voiceover.
And everyone in Cuba be dancing.
Yeah, I was like, it was sort of like that vibe in the first, like, you know, 20 minutes a little bit. And then, especially with her, like the kind of mean, you know, the mean girl at the pool, you know, like I was kind of like, there's nothing. She's kind of disappears too, you know, later.
Well, and even so bring up January Jones, he even stands up to her. And so it's like, I was kind of thinking, oh, maybe they'll get together now and be like the, you know, villainous white couple, you know, or whatever, versus
they're going to enter the dance.
They're into the dance too. Yeah.
But nope, he, you know, stands up to her and is like, well, you're just a bitch or whatever he says to her. And it's like, okay, so this is a guy that had a really not great part of the movie. But other than that, which again, didn't seem to came out of nowhere. He's totally fine, which is fine. You don't have to have like a full-on villain. It's just they kind of. That goes back to there's just not enough characterization of anybody that's completely thorough.
And then I didn't even think about the whole idea of, like, eventually Diego gets fired by the hotel and starts working with his brother, who's a revolutionary, and they're, like, stealing cars and painting them. And I didn't even think, like, oh, they're stealing the Fords that these guys are bringing over. And that's, it's only mentioned, like, once. It's, like, that could be a whole thing, too. Like, they steal...
conflict with the dad.
Steal the dad's car. Yeah, some conflicts or anything like that. Like, there's nothing like that, too.
They're stealing our cars like they're stealing our women.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yeah, it needed another pass. Like all that stuff. Yeah. It's like it's or it was in there and it all got kind of just taken out. Yeah. And maybe it is. That's why it's so short.
Maybe it was 2 hours and they were like, no, it can only be an hour and a half.
Which again, I am not mad about that, but
we're not mad about it with the movie we got, but if it was two hours of what it could have
it
been.
It just really felt like the last 15 minutes, like it just like, it felt like the, if you were listening to a podcast, you turned it to like 4 speed. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah. Oh, and remember the revolution plot? It just comes in at the end, it interrupts the dance, and then it's like immediately resolved. It's like, actually, you know what? Dad would be ashamed of you. Like, oh, you're right. Hey, we won the revolution. Yay!
And like Castro, you know, took over, you know.
Yeah. Well. It just feels like it's the movie's on like x4 speed and then suddenly it's over. Like, oh, I got to go back to America. Oh, I got to stay here because, you know, I got to believe that this revolution was worth it. Da, da, da. And the movie just ends. And here's the biggest crime of this movie as I'm talking.
All right, we're ready. We're ready, Dave.
After I got done watching the movie, I had a strong desire to like, you know, kind of skim through the greatest hits of Dirty Dancing. Well, to be honest, first I watched Flashdance, like the greatest hits of that. Then I went to Dirty Dancing. And if you recall, in Dirty Dancing, that movie ends with, you know, Johnny Castle comes, nobody puts baby in a quarter. They do their triumphant dance, and it's the last dance of the season. And everyone starts dancing. And the movie just allows the scene to play out. Everyone's dancing, they're having a great time. You'll notice in the original that they do not play the credits over the people dancing. Whereas in Dirty Dancing 2, everyone's dancing, but the credits are obscuring the dancing. Like, what are you doing? I want to see people dancing and have a good time.
Yeah.
Was I the only one upset?
No, it was
this?
Weird because they were like in the middle too. I was thinking that too. I'm like, I can't even see what they, like, put them on the side or something. You know?
Seriously. Or do that thing where, like, you know, you have, like, a box on one side and the credits are coming up on the left or something. Like, why are they not letting us see the Dirty Dancing? It was bullshit.
Why are they not satiating my sick need?
It was just funny, like, the reveal that, like, that like, sister's there and the parents are there filming on their... Like, I didn't... Did I... That was
that could have been great. You could just see the parents dance, but no, you get stupid credits obscuring everything.
They couldn't afford to pay Selma and John Slattery to dance. That's why.
They danced a little bit.
They danced a little bit in a movie.
That's all they got.
Yes. And that probably cost them, you know, $100,000. So.
What were you saying, Ryan?
I was saying, like, I only had, like, one note I kind of pulled up, and I must have missed it. But when the parents, they go to the dance competition that gets broken up by the revolutionary assassin plot.
Basically. He's got a gun!
Yeah. But before that, the parents are like, you want to dance? Like, and they go to dance, and the daughter pulls out that 8mm camera. Yeah. I didn't see the camera, like, before. Maybe I was not looking or something. And it just looks so funny that she just, like, pulled it out of, like, her butt,
out of
basically.
Nowhere.
It's just like, like this huge freaking film camera. I don't know. That was just... something kind of a funny look.
Yeah, was that under the table?
I know, it was like,
out of nowhere.
I didn't see like the dad bring it in earlier or anything like that. Yeah. It was just like there.
Because you see them all walk in, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, did I miss like them setting that up? I was kind of curious because I'm like wondering like what's the deal with this movie? Because I bet you it did have like a more complicated kind of plot regarding like the classes of people and in the separation. We didn't go back to Cuba for, what was it, like, it was not open for 50 years after this, basically, or something, right?
Yeah.
And it was around the same time as, like, all the dance movies of the early 2000s, and they all did really well. Like, there was Step Up, Save the Last Dance, Bring It On, I guess you can compare that, You Got Served, and those movies all did really well, and this one didn't. So I'm wondering if it was just, like, playing, like, we need to get that out to do, you know, like, maybe it'll still do well if it just has dancing and sexy people in it, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
But it wasn't... Maybe, Dave, you could probably speak to this, because since you're the expert. The dancing wasn't really super sexy, I didn't feel like.
No, it wasn't.
Not really. Okay. Not compared to... you know what it is? It's that contrast in the original Dirty Dancing is, like, it's so kind of like the stuck up world for a while. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, these people are like having sex.
Well, that's
on the
floor,
you don't see
a contrast in this movie. They don't show you the foxtrot. It's basically just like, well, yeah, they're white. Clearly they're going to be bad, nerdy dancers. So, like, that's basically what we're left with. Yeah.
Well, plus in the original, the entire opening credits, talking about credits with people dancing in them, it's sexy dancing, so yeah. It gets you already in that mindset.
But even, like, because they did, like, because in the original, like, the sexy dancing was, like, grinding on each other, and they did that a little bit, but even when that happened, you're like, I feel nothing about this.
The sexiest part is when they're training, and he like, you know, hangs her over, and then he does that thing where he slides his hand across her chest, basically, like right down the middle. Oh, like, I guess that's the sexiest thing.
That's a good homage to the original, where they laugh with the boob grace. They can't get the boob grace because they keep laughing.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was an homage. You're totally right.
There's none of that little, oh my God, I remember now, because that was the first time I had watched Dirty Dancing, and I'm thinking of all like this, like them, all the little moments like that. It was so good.
Actually, there was one overtly dirty moment.
Where he touches her butt?
Well, he more than touches her butt. He cups her butt. He literally sticks his hand in the crack of her ass and
no,
just like grabs her
Dave.
Cheek.
You're fucking
and I was like, whoa!
This was a fever dream you had after Flashdance.
No, he got all in there.
You were like, what if I was Diego Luna and Jennifer Beadle? What is Katie or whatever her name is?
How dare you
presume that I have already made up these fantasies in my mind? I totally have not had these fantasies.
I just think
I have not. I did not do it.
There's zero chemistry between the two main characters.
Yeah.
And so anything that they do, you're just like, I feel absolutely nothing. Whereas Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze. Amazing chemistry.
Well, that's the ironic thing with that, because if you remember in the trivia, they couldn't stand each other,
and that's
but they
why.
Like had. Yeah. Well, it's like they used. Yeah. It's a different kind of chemistry, and they used that chemistry in the movie. And I'm watching it, thinking like they have all the chemistry I've ever seen on screen. You know, it's just.
It seems to me like maybe Romanelli or whatever her name is. Maybe she was too in her head about, I am a British person trying to be American. And that was why she was so stiff. Even when they were dancing together, she, at the end, when they were doing the competition, she kept looking to the side. She kept looking like, and I was like, Diego is literally looking at you. He is focused on you. And you are like, smiling at him, look to the
apparently,
side. Like, smile at him, look to the
well,
side.
Well, I think also you're supposed to do that in ballroom dancing. So it doesn't lend great for chemistry because you're supposed to kind of look around and like be performing for the people.
Yeah, looking at the judges.
Yeah, right before they start dancing, she says, remember to look at the judges.
But she's not even looking at the judges, she's looking at the floor. And in the video, and I think you're right, but in the video, they didn't do it successfully, just like many other scenes in the film. In the video of her parents, when Diego is like, see how much they want to be in each other's arms, like, that's how we have to be. And it's like, Selma and John Slattery were looking at each other.
That's true.
So it's like, again, even in the climax of the movie of them dancing together, I was like, she's not even looking like she is enjoying. She does not look like she's in love with this person.
Well, this could have been a moment like you guys weren't on the Saturday Night Fever episode, but in that movie, there's also a dance competition, and the two main characters they dance, but like it kind of becomes more less of a dance and more of just like we've finally fully fallen in love with each other and we're looking at each other's eyes and we're less concerned with the dance. That could have been a direction this went, where like, you know, we're actually just in love with each other, we're not even thinking about the judges, we're looking into each other's eyes.
I think they tried to do that and failed again because the first time we see them kiss is in the middle of their dance. Of the semi, of the
first
round.
Time
they dance. Yeah. That's the first time they kiss. And I was like, they kissed? Is this choreographed? What the hell?
Yeah, it was like real quick. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, what?
Like, why not save that for the last dance?
Or you like,
oh, well, no pun
or
intended.
When that happens, you pop in and make a moment of it. It was so thrown away, you know?
Yeah, they kissed and then we're done with it. I was like, that was their first kiss. Like, what the hell?
That we at least saw. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I'm literally shocked that there are people in this world that love this movie.
You think there is?
On the Chad PD. Yeah, Ryan, there is. On the Chad PD, on the Chad or Reddit. I don't know what that's called here.
Chedit.
Chedit. On the Chedit. Chedit. On the Chedit. There are people that are like, this is a great movie. I love this movie. This movie's so good.
Well,
not
it's probably like,
obviously.
It's like people that were kids that had it. They had the DVD that was their only DVD that they watched in their room, you know, and they kind of thing, you know. I was looking up the actor Romola Garia, the main actress, and I was like looking at her, I'm like, what have I seen her in? And she's in, I mean, going back to our movies we've covered, she's in Love Actually. She's one of the girls at the bar when the British guy goes to America. And she's playing another American, like one of the ditzy kind of girls that's like at the bar.
She was in that too, because January Jones was like the lead ditzy American actress.
Oh, they must be both then there.
They're both there?
No, wait. Wow. Okay, it was Denise Richards. Right,
not in the bar though, but yes.
Oh,
this is like at the when he's like, you know, they're all loving his accent and stuff.
He's like, take me to any bar in Wisconsin, and yeah, taxi driver takes him to a bar.
But I thought that was Denise Richards.
No, she's at the end. You don't see Denise Richards until the very end of Love Actually.
Oh, that's
right. Oh, that's true. It's Alicia Cuthbert.
Yes,
right.
And yes, yes. And then another person.
Oh, I guess that's this chick.
Wow. This chick.
This ironing board of a woman.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, you're the one saying it, so good.
Well, it's interesting because,
she's
like,
she's not
going to
listen, Ryan.
I know.
Well, not anymore. She's not. She this was her off. Favorite podcast. Now she's gone forever. We lost a customer. But it's interesting. Like,
hey,
I kind of forgot.
At the store. She's not my customer.
I forgot about her narration in the beginning, which was pretty bad. I kind of largely forgot about it. And personally, I thought she, again, much like the movie until the last act, I thought it was she was fine in the movie overall until the end when the narration pops up. And I'm like, this is the most forced, terrible narrating I've ever heard. It took me right out of the movie.
Javier once said that dancing is about being exactly who you want to be in that moment. Dancing with him, I realized I was becoming exactly the woman I wanted to be. We didn't win the contest, but we did win something more important to us. On my last night in Havana, we were king and queen of La Rosa Negra.
Who directed this?
It was Guy Berland, and doesn't have a lot of credits. There's a lot of these, like, I think a lot of TV kind of stuff.
I think she could have been a lot better with maybe a stronger director who would tell her, hey, stop doing this.
Close your mouth.
What are you doing?
For 5 seconds.
Yeah, it sounds like they were trying to go for Natalie Portman at the time and she turned it down. And
that
Ricky Martin.
Weird.
That would have been really weird.
I think Ricky Martin. Oh, wow.
I think that would have been something, I think, having Ricky Martin.
It should have been Ricky Martin and Diego Luna.
Yes.
It should have been.
Well, true.
That would have been fine. Yeah, that would have been, you know.
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
It could have been class again, where Ricky Martin is the rich boy, and Diego Luna is the poorer boy. It could have been class rather than race.
Yes. Ah. What's it called? Boy Love? Bring in Boy Love. That's what this movie is missing.
That's what a lot of movies are missing.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. It's funny that you brought up the director, because I had that same thought. In fact, I posted it.
Who's responsible for this? I gotta know.
I hacked into the store chat and I started posting my ideas to you guys. And it was like, yes, some directors, some movies are so bad that they make good actors look bad, like Natalie Portman in the prequels. And there are some movies that are good and they make bad actors look good. Maybe this is one of those where it's like the movie was not good, so it made a good actor look bad. I haven't seen her in anything else besides apparently that bar scene.
It seems like there was like 1,000, or like 2 really, not 1,000, but like 2 things are like, we want to make this movie and this movie. Let's just splice them together, but they cut out all the good parts of both movies.
Yeah.
And like all the bad parts.
That I kept wondering that Cella Ward, her mom, actress playing her mom. Like, I was like, where have I seen her before? And I realized.
Oh, I know exactly where. Look, hold on, I'm getting a call.
Richard, he's trying to kill me, Richard.
She's Richard Kimball's wife who gets killed.
Oh, I was thinking she's the news reporter in Gone Girl that interviews Ben Affleck.
Oh, that too. That's
what I was thinking. I was like,
who the hell are you talking about now? Who is
the mom? Like the mom.
Ward.
Yeah, she's she was in
a lot of stuff.
She's like the host of like the Fox News kind of show, whatever, in Gone Girl.
Oh, like I did keep calling her Selma. Very sorry, Selma Ward. I don't see you worrying about that, Dave. But she's in a lot of stuff. She's a very good actor. I think the parents. So there's sometimes where you just can't keep a good actor down, right? Like in going back to the prequels, Liam Neeson. I can't remember his
Ewan
name.
McGregor.
Obi-Wan McGregor. Yeah, yeah.
Obi-Wan McGregor.
Obi-Wan McGregor. Ewan McGregor. Sometimes you can't keep a good actor down.
The ability to dance does not make you sexy.
So Cela Ward, John Slattery, and Diego Luna, I think, do still do a very, very, very good job. So
yeah,
I guess I just really fucking hate the main actress. She's the only bad one.
I don't really think it's her fault. I think that the character is supposed to be kind of wooden at first. And I think if she had a stronger director... giving her more to work with, like helping her more, then it would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
If somebody had said, like you wanted, hey, close your mouth. That looks kind of weird.
Well, maybe this was hanging above her. Should I
bring
this up?
Close your mouth.
He
gave me a lot of direction during the movie. Close your mouth.
We were talking about, you know, sexual assault basically, but she was a part of some of the Weinstein allegations.
Oh,
like she
oh
came
really?
Out about
oh, no.
that.
Do they have anything to do with this movie in particular?
Well,
or?
What was the studio?
Well, this was Miramax? Lionsgate, and it was interesting because I'm used when I see the Lionsgate logo, I'm used to seeing like the door opening or whatever in the keyhole.
Well, there was Miramax though too. So that was when
Miramax was here too. Oh, great.
It says in 2017, in the midst of Weinstein's abuse allegations in Hollywood, she revealed that Weinstein, whose company Miramax was co-producing the film, had required her to meet him in a hotel room while wearing only a bathrobe.
I am so glad that you specified that, because when you said mixed up in the Harvey Weinstein stuff, I thought you meant in a bad way.
Oh,
but I was
God. I mean, I'm saying she was like a victim of
the
whole thing.
You thought she was maybe arranging the meetups?
That you clarified.
Well,
that's as far as it says.
Smallville was doing stuff like that, Dave. It's not so out of the realm of possibility.
I don't know what else she's been in. What else has she been in?
Well, this would have been, I think, for this movie. That she met with Weinstein, and then he was in the hotel room. It doesn't say that anything else happened, but it just like he was in a bathrobe meeting this like 18-year-old girl, basically. You know?
That might explain some of the woodenness for sure.
It's like, oh, I don't actually want to be in this.
Yeah,
movie.
Now I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, it all comes back to old Harv.
Oh, God, he's so hurt. It's so... Okay, I don't like...
Yeah, sorry, we can get it. Look, Diego Luna, put it in your
Diego
head.
Diego Luna! Save me, Diego Luna!
Well, hold on, let's talk about something else to get our minds off the Weinstein.
Let's talk about the shitty little sister. She was so...
Let's talk about another villain.
She was bad because she was... I also don't think that she was... a fantastic actress, but she was such a brat, and it was like, it was going back to like what Dave said, I don't even understand why she said anything, and like you said, I mean, they didn't kiss or anything like that, but why would you, even if they did kiss or something,
this
why
little
would you even say anything?
Because she was with the January Jones character, who's terrible, and she's in a new place, she's younger than her sister, she doesn't get to do anything, she's feeling bad that she's so much younger than all of her friends. And this cool girl who she thinks is cool is like, we gotta tell people because this could be dangerous for your sister, blah, blah, blah. She's not gonna be like, hey, let's... She probably wasn't like, hey.
I am getting...
You can't see it. You can't see it, listeners, but Kara hunched over like an old crone and was like, let's do this.
So hey, she's being manipulated by January Jones, which really January Jones should have been like the main villain in this, because it's... I feel like that's kind of going on in the background. But so she was, and she only told her dad. January Jones is the one who told the hotel and was like, hey, fire this guy or whatever. Right. And so the sister
he's shaking
like,
hands
hey,
with the patrons.
I saw her hanging out with this guy. That's weird. We don't know what she said.
True. That's true. Yeah. She was just a brat. And it is very, it's very hard for me to watch movies and not, and put, sometimes it's hard for me to put myself in the place of the main character. And I am trying to do that. It's like, well, it was a different time. Well, it was different circumstances. Da, 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 da. And it's like, goes back to like what you said. Why didn't she tell them from the beginning? Because they seem really cool. And it's like, okay, well, it is a different time. And maybe she's not as, maybe she's not as confident or outspoken.
I almost feel like they don't go enough into that stuff. Like about just like, sexual politics. It's just, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's all just sort of like, there's a lot they could pull from, I think, for this. And it's almost just so surface, you know?
Based on the little bit that they did show us, which they absolutely should have shown us more. And I literally was like, why don't you tell them? It doesn't seem like they would care, like, at all. Just based on, because they were like, hey, we love you. We're great parents. They seemed very cool, very relaxed. They didn't seem racist. They didn't seem classist. They didn't give us any information as to why she was like, I can't tell them.
Right.
Whereas in the original Dirty Dancing, you're like, that guy very treats her like a baby.
Yes.
He, like, so you understand why she didn't say anything.
What? That just reminded me. What is the don't put baby in a corner line in this movie? Is there one? Is there?
I don't think there is one.
Is there like one that sticks out? Because there's not even like, I was thinking of the music in that last one. I know the other one had like modern music for the 60s, and
well,
I was,
this one,
and this one
too.
Does too. But I'm like, there's nothing. Nothing's popping.
There was the part where his brother was almost executed execution style. Something.
Oh yeah, I know.
Like, don't put my brother in a corner and shoot him in the head.
Don't shoot my brother in the corner.
Oh yeah,
don't
there you
put
go.
Put my brother on his knee.
He should have said that. Don't put my brother in a corner.
Nobody blows my brother's brains out.
And that was like even that relationship was also very stupid.
Yeah.
Because he's the one good part was when they, because I thought there were very small moments where they talked to each other, and I was like, this would be a good movie.
Yes.
Where he was like, I gotta go make this delivery, it's medical supplies. And he's like, why can't I like to see the day where you help your family or something like that? And then the brother's like, I can't wait for the day where you find, where you realize that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then like that goes nowhere. Nothing goes anywhere.
Nothing goes anywhere. A lot of weird tonal shit. A lot of plot holes and plot ends. Is that a word? Plot.
Yeah.
Plot ends.
So this is interesting stuff too in the Chatterpedia. I think this would be interesting to pull up. And we talked about that it was based off of like the writer is Peter Segal, who was a playwright and an NPR host basically. And he was in Cuba when he was 15 years old and had like a.
It was his story? I thought it was the producer's story.
Well, I guess the producer bought it, I guess. It's based on a screenplay.
And she lived in Cuba, right?
Based on a real-life experience of producer. Okay, right. So Peter Segal wrote the screenplay based on Joanna Jansen, I guess. Her story, basically. So basically, this script was written a long time ago, it looks like. And then Lawrence Bender, the producer of this, he was like Quentin Tarantino's producer. Like he produced like Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and bought this. But then around the same, and it sat around for like 10 years. And then eventually he got like the Dirty Dancing sequel came to us. And that's when they made the rewrite, basically.
He was I can shoehorn this in.
Yeah. And then, and like maybe this, like almost like, isn't that like a Die Hard thing? Like Die Hard scripts are usually something else and kind of become.
They start as something else. And then someone along the lines, like, this could be Die Hard.
Yeah.
And it's so it's like a politics thing where they're like, we want to get this bill passed. Let's say free hot dogs for dogs every Friday so that people pass
it. It says that a single line from Segal's original screenplay appears in the final film. And Segal says that the only remnants of the political theme that exists is his script is a scene where some people are executed, which doesn't really even happen in this movie, but just about to happen, basically.
Yeah. And then Diego Luna stops it because he's a superhero.
I literally, like, at least 5 times during this movie, I just yelled out loud, he's so adorable!
He is.
Well, him and the lead actress, I guess they trained for like 10 weeks. Neither were trained dancers in any capacity. And I think, you know, I think Diego sells it, man. He does a good job. And because you get a lot of full shots of them dancing, like it's not clear, like, they're it's close ups and they're clearly like stunt actors.
I do not think that they sell it to look like professional dancers. I do not think that
they're good.
They are good. Yes, they are good. But I, and that, you know what? That is one positive that I had about the movie. Actually,
not wowed though by it, I feel like. Go ahead.
Well,
no, I wasn't wowed the same way as the original. Not in it, but I will say that, like, yeah, they were good.
They did a really, really good job, in my opinion, showing how much work it does take to even learn how to dance that little bit. Because, again, like I said, to me, at the end, it's like, they're fine, but it's like they're not, you know, they do not look like professional dancers, and it's like, but it still it still shows you, like, you have to even put this much work into just being, like, passable.
Because they're not professional.
Well, let's talk. Well, it sounds like the movie needs to bring in a, let's see what the movie credits him as. Oh, dance class instructor. Let's start talking about our non-Johnny Castle character of dance class instructor, played by Patrick Swayze.
He's not Johnny Castle?
No,
he is not Johnny Castle.
This is a prequel,
but he could still be the same guy.
He looks like he's 50 years old.
Well, okay, so this is the pretty much like in my notes. This is like circled like 10 times, underlined, asterisks to hell. This is the main thing I wanted to talk about with this movie, because you know I think that the movie kind of has the best of both worlds. It gets to have its cake and eat it too with the non-Johnny Castle, Johnny Castle character. Like, it's clearly supposed to be Johnny Castle, basically.
Yeah.
He's wearing the exact same outfit he's wearing in Dirty Dancing. And I would say, with the exception of, you know, his face, he's clearly older. He, like, physically, he looks
great.
Almost exactly like he did in the first movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He looks great.
Like I was saying, when he popped up, I was like, oh, finally some juice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm like, there's a movie star just walked into this movie for a second.
Oh, my God.
And then it was just like, oh, he's gone.
Listen, well, Diego Luna is a fucking movie star.
Oh,
okay?
True. But I'm saying, like, this is, you know, I'm just saying, like, this is, like, you know, next level kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Come here. Un momento, stand right here. Let me see your frame. Good. Little pressure. Mm-hmm. So where'd you learn this?
My parents, they were dancers.
Really? Relax. Yes. Drop your arms. Breathe. Now, just basic. Good.
What did you mean when you said that's too bad?
If you can't move through your fear and connect with yourself, there's absolutely no way you're gonna connect with your partner. Listen to me. I know that it's scary as hell to let another person touch that part of you. But if you do, it's worth it. Now forget everything I just said and dance.
I mean, he does this dancing thing. And again, like, how he looks, how he acts, what he's doing, he has the exact same role. He's the dance instructor guy that basically woos the wives of all the American tourists that are staying at this hotel, very similar to his role in the original Dirty Dancing, where he woos the older wives, you know, while their husbands are playing golf or whatever the hell at this resort. So he's basically serving the same function, but it's different here because obviously, you know, he's a guy like in his late 40s, early 50s when he makes this. He's doing the same role basically they did before, but now that he's older, it gives it a weird dynamic with the lead actress. And I think they wisely credit him simply as dance class instructor and not Johnny Castle, because if he was supposed to be literally Johnny Castle 5 years before the events of Dirty Dancing, it would be weird because you have a guy who is visibly in his early 50s with like this 18-year-old, and like you couldn't have that character do the things he does in the original Dirty Dancing. It would just be weird and off-putting.
Well,
but
I like the idea of him being
here.
Like the freaking Obi-Wan of this movie, but I just wish he was like part of the movie, really.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. It would have been way more enjoyable if he had a bigger role. Like, he could have trained her on the basics, maybe.
He could have trained them together.
Yeah.
He could have trained them at the same time. Like,
he doesn't share the screen with Diego. I was like, what the hell?
That's why I think this is just like, we have to add something to this movie. And they just like added this afterwards. Because she's the only character, really. And then there's the few ladies that are at the dancing class. And that's it, really, that he interacts with.
And he dances by, she walks in when he's dancing by himself once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, imagine, like, if he was in this movie, as even if it is, like, you know, the third character, and, like, he, like, hits on the mom, and just, like, fun things. Like, I don't know, just stuff that could happen, you know? Just, like, even if he isn't Johnny Castle, but he's, like, the, you know, the reincarnation or something, or his dad, or he's Johnny Castle's dad or something. Yeah.
He's
William Castle, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it just doesn't seem like... Yeah, it seems like a second, like an afterthought. Like,
I'm making it headcanon that he's Johnny Castle's dad. That's
crazy. That is right.
He's Johnny Castle senior, you know, something.
Yeah. But I was glad that they didn't... Yeah, because, like, it would have been weird. And also, the dance that they do together, it's not sexy in any way. It's just, like, clearly he's a professional dancer. There's no sexiness to it.
He's sexy.
He's sexy, yes, but the dance they're doing is not. It's just, like, he's training her on, like,
Ryan's
professional dancing.
Ryan's like, dance with me, Daddy.
I'm just saying, he pops off. That's what I'm saying. It's, like, one of those things where you're just, like, oh, finally, there's something going. Some blood is flowing in this movie. All of a sudden,
you could have chemistry with anyone. Yeah, he's bringing it.
I think that John Slattery is a very charismatic, good-looking man.
But he's sitting in a chair, like in the dark, and remember when she comes for Christmas and he like puts his hands out and he's like.
I don't know.
I see what I'm doing, but it is.
Didn't they have a training montage between her and her dad? Her dad could have been like, "I'm glad that you're joining this dance."
Because
this
she would have had to have told him. I agree. That
I know,
been great.
But it's just
that would have been wonderful. That also goes back to what Karen and I are saying about just fucking tell them. And then that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah,
actually,
like because the dad and the mom could be like, "We'll show you how to dance," and then they could teach. They could pass it on.
Yeah, that's a different different vibe too than the.
Be after they reconcile. Then it's like, all right, we're gonna train for the big dance. We'll help you. Like, you know what I mean? Like that could have been after this big blowout moment, and they reconcile, and then it's like we're gonna help you.
It could have even been before too, and then you can still have the sexy moments of them dancing by themselves. It would just be. I mean, they fucking put scenes of them dancing with the stupid little sister in there. It could have just sub out the little sister for the parent.
And because she knows how to do ballroom, but obviously she's not a professional. So they'll be like, we can teach you how to do ballroom, and then they can sex it up with the Cuban dancing.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we're writing this movie.
That's a wonderful
call, Diego Luna.
We're remaking Havana Nights, Diego. Are you in?
He says, of course I'm in. I'm Diego Luna.
That's funny.
Yeah, I, like, again, like the movie for me until the last act was just fine, and then the revolutionary plot comes in and it just kind of goes off the rails, and that's immediately resolved. And it's funny too because like the revolution happens and then Diego runs back and finds her again. Like, so hey, I guess you're leaving then, huh? All right, let's have one last night. But we didn't win, but technically we were the best. Da-ba-da. And she has this line when they basically do it. I'm assuming like on the beach.
You don't have to assume.
She has this line, and to me, it's like the worst acting moment in the movie where she says,
I'm so happy I can see all this with you.
It was terrible. Perhaps like the worst acting I've seen in recent memory. It was terrible.
What was she talking about? The killing and the maiming? I'm so happy I can experience this violent revolution.
I think what she meant was the liberation of Cuba. She was like, I'm glad I can share in this happy moment because you are happy that the Batista's gone.
Yeah.
I think that's what she meant.
Yes, that's probably what she meant.
I mean, it could have ended.
I'm not very political or historically minded. Was Fidel Castro a good leader? I don't think so, right?
Well, I think the original intention was that it was going to be. And I think it ended up not being in the long run.
Well, and that's why Diego says, like, I mean, I have to believe, because she says, like, what if this, they're basically hinting at what's going to happen in the future. Like, she's like, what if this revolution doesn't go the way you think it will? He's like, I have to believe that it will. You know what I mean? He's going on, he's going in on faith. So he just, I mean, they don't know the future. We do, because we live in the future. But they were living in the past, and they didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know too much of the details either, but it's like, I think, like, you know, it's there was a, you know, dictatorship for a while, and then it got taken over, and then it kind of became in a way like that again after a while, you know.
That's what I thought.
You know, I will say I was glad that this movie could have ended in a much more melodramatic way, because it seems like they set it up throughout the movie. It's like, if we win this dance competition, we'll get $5,000. That's enough. I could bring my family to America. You know what I mean? And it's like, it almost seems like, I'm like, oh no. Like, are they going to do a thing where she's like, come with us to America. We'll send for your family. And it seems like they're setting that up. But thankfully, the movie's like, no, she's going to go back to America. He's going to stay in Cuba. Like, I thought it was going to be, I was afraid it was going to end with one of them staying or going. And it's like, ugh.
Well, see, that's what they say at the end. They basically say, you just said the last line basically of the movie. It's just like, you're taking you with me, and I'm keeping you here. Maybe that's the line. Maybe that's the don't put baby in a corner.
I am taking you with me.
I am keeping you here.
She says, let it go. It's Havana.
Now listen, I love romance movies. And when this movie started, because I didn't really know anything about it, just that Jana hated it for some reason.
And I wanted to love it so bad.
And I was like, I am here for a fabulous romance with Diego Luna and this blonde chick. Let's go. And we did not get it. And it was so horrible. Yes. And then at the end, when they say those two lines, I was like, those are good lines.
They are good.
And if they were said in a good romance, that's like the moment when every person would just be like bawling their eyes out.
Yeah,
classic.
Right?
It'd be a classic.
It'd be the classic.
Do you think that could have been a line like in the original script, perhaps?
I don't know.
Because again, it feels like a better line than this movie.
Which original? The original script where it was just about the revolution, or the original script?
I mean, the thing is, like, if there was, it could have been, and they could have still, like, it didn't have to be Dirty Dancing, but they could have been like, there could have been dancing in clubs. Maybe they didn't have the competition aspect, but like, it could still have like the dancing part of like the story if it was like the.
Yeah,
But they still
could
be more
still use
like
that as a way to fall in love. Yeah,
yeah,
and not
yeah.
have the yeah.
I think it could like still have all that stuff. Really, like a lot of those elements. I think to have like just a compelling sort of, I don't know, like it's literally the Titanic idea of just like setting a love story on a real event, basically.
Yes,
you know,
like as Dave said, there's always dancing in Havana, so there doesn't need to be.
It was seriously on the same level as like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, when everyone in New York is seen eating pizza in the credits. It's like, well, yeah, it's New York. Everyone's eating pizza at all times. Well, yeah, it's Savannah. Everyone's dancing at all times.
I mean, everyone's eating pizza at all times everywhere.
Well, yeah, this is America, baby. This is America. We eat pizza.
That's a good point.
All right. Can we talk about the competition real quick, though? Because does he get any money?
No, the competition's over.
Nobody won anything.
He doesn't even get any money.
Well, you get $300 for the first one, but said there were three groups selected. Do each group get $300? Did each group get $300?
No, I don't know. It was like a lot.
Or just like whoever was first.
So he got some money, we think.
Maybe.
I mean,
yeah,
the revolution did happen, so maybe they were just like, fuck it, nobody gets any money, this is my
money
now.
Well, that's probably what happened, but the problem was, even if they won the money, you can only use it as vouchers in the hotel, which you couldn't enter, so you got fired,
it wouldn't matter anymore. Well, no, now he can use the vouchers, Dave. They wouldn't let him use the vouchers if he worked there. But now that he doesn't work there, he can use the vouchers.
Okay.
So see, okay, it is a good movie. All right.
What a good movie.
Everything makes sense now. It was also that he could stay at the hotel.
Any closing thoughts before we get into recommendations?
I mean, whoever, you know, casted Mad Men must have watched this, maybe.
I know, my God.
At least two. I mean, maybe if three maybe would be the case, but there's, you know. couple Mad Men actors in it.
I love John.
Alison Brie was probably farting around in the background. They probably pulled her in too. They're like, what if we pull her into Mad Men?
He did a really good job. He's so good.
I thought he was great.
He needs to be in more stuff.
Who?
John Slattery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's in the Pop-Tart movie as his character from Mad Men. Spoiler.
We're talking about movies, Ryan. That doesn't count.
My final thought is I really wanted this to be as good of a romance as the original one.
Yeah.
And I feel like it wasn't at all. But also, Diego Luna is the most adorable person.
So in the chat that I hacked into after Flashdance, Dave was sending a lot of sweaty gifts. After this movie, it's like Kara was just sending a bunch of happy, like, animal gifts and stuff. Like, he's so cute. I'm a happy kitten because he's so cute. I'm a happy panda because he's so cute.
I'm really glad he didn't die. I really expected somebody to die in
this
movie.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what this movie needed. Someone needed to die. Like, give it some.
I agree with you, Ryan, because that would make the revolution part of this plot not feel so cheap.
Yeah.
Kill the sister.
kill the sister or the main girl.
Or his brother. I don't know. Give some kind of thing early in the movie.
I thought his brother was going to die. I really thought his brother was going
to
die.
But they need to have a reconciliation.
That's and then he dies. That's movies.
Yeah, true.
That's movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. There's not much to pull from this one, I would say, fortunately.
Is this going to be our first all non-recommends for Now That's What I Call Dance Movies?
I don't know, Dave. None of them have come out yet, so you'll have to tell us.
Oh, you haven't heard the first two, yeah. Well, I think the first two episodes we did, we were all recommending the movies, so this might be the first one.
This is the opportunity to recommend something else.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay, that's a good point. If we can't recommend the movie in question, we got to recommend something else.
I mean, that's treading the line of another movie podcast that I listen to. But
oh, is it?
We'll take it.
All movie podcasts rip off all other movie podcasts.
They're all dead. This is the apocalypse, remember?
We're the only one. Any other podcasts you're listening to are like dead broadcasts from 20 years ago.
Yeah, take that, Boo and Belly and Bam.
Griffin Newman has been dead for 40 years, Jana.
Griffin Newman. Please put some respect on
him. We're living in the future. Didn't you hear what I was saying earlier?
All right, my recommendation is... this is kind of the first one is really good. And if you like a lot of dancing, and Dave, you'll like this because they literally dance the entirety of the movie. It's like if you're watching it, you're like, oh, people are just dancing like at the drop of a hat. Step Up, the first one is really, really good.
I was going
to really
say that.
And I actually really like the ones after that. Like, don't watch it for the plot, but the dancing is incredible.
This almost sounds like today's secret movie recommendation is Step Up.
Ah! Not a secret, Dave. I literally said it.
Well, no, because Kara was going to say that too.
Yeah.
I see.
Wow.
Okay, so we got two Step Ups. Ryan, what about you? What other movie would you recommend instead of Havana Nights?
Because I had never seen it until recently, but you know, I saw You Too, Mama Tambien recently. And
I need to see that.
It was definitely an eye-opening experience. It has a dancing scene in it that's very sexy.
True.
It has boy love in it, too. Yes. We talked about that. We wanted that. It's sweaty, as Diego Luna. And it's also, you know, it's Latin.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah, from Latin America, it's good stuff, you know. So I'd say and it's also, if you're looking for that coming of age movie, that's the one to.
I was trying to avoid possible future apocalypse video movies, but that is a fantastic recommendation.
Yeah.
Because you're right; it has a lot of the really good elements of this movie, but it's. Totally different and does it better.
Well, it's funny you say that. You guys are looking into the future. I'm going to look into the past of apocalypse video programming and recommend Dirty Dancing. It does literally everything this movie does, only 10 times better.
Kara and I are over here absolutely shocked, Dave.
I thought he was going to say Flashdance and I was going to walk out.
Yeah, I know. He's just obsessed with the Flashdance. We're probably, by the end of this, to be doing that again on the pod.
Well, you guys have no idea how many times I have rewatched the last scene of Flashdance since we have watched it on
Christ,
the show.
Jesus Christ, Dave! I'm going to have to be Cody's role here and say, keep your perverted shit.
No, it's not that. No, it's not that. No. If I wanted to go perv, I would have watched the earlier scenes in the movie, the more overtly sexual scenes in Flashdance. I'm talking specifically the end, the dance and audition that she has, where it's not overtly sexy.
Yeah,
she's just dancing. You know, she's melting the faces of the stuffy judges, and just like that scene gets me going, and like it's just an inspiration. No, not like that.
Dave's dancing, going, what a feeling!
In an inspirational way. As I mentioned on that episode, it's like the I get knocked down, but I get up again moment. Like, that's what I get from that scene, and
it's
that's why I've been rewatching it over and over.
Yeah, right, Dave. Mike's going to come on in the next episode and be like, for some reason, Dave had, like, a water pipe installed in the ceiling. And there's just a chair sitting in the middle of the room.
No, if
yeah,
again,
and Jackie
like,
keeps
if
getting
I
washed
to...
out of the vents because of that or something.
If I wanted to get off, I would watch the maniac dance scene when she's like doing like the crazy legs thing. Like that's what I would be watching.
Yeah, but
because there's nothing that does it for you, Dave. Like a couple of Jimmy legs.
Yeah, a couple of some dude's thighs. I thought it was the thing with the shirt and the bra was the movie.
Well, that too. Like I said, I would basically watch the first 80% of the movie, Ryan, okay. If I wanted to. But no, I'm talking about the last scene. Anyway, we've talked about Flashdance enough. I'm sure it'll come back again on future episodes.
It's Dave, the changed man. New Dave.
All Flashdance all the time.
I bought the soundtrack. I've been listening to it.
It's a good soundtrack.
Ad nauseum. You can at least grant me that, yeah, that it is a good soundtrack.
It was an Oscar, I think.
Yeah.
The Oscars are never wrong.
Correct. False! No, I can't even joke. They're always wrong all the time. A lot.
Well, I'm hoping that our next installment will kind of get us back on the positive track, get things sexy again. When Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Part 4.
Again.
Yes!
Hey, I want to see what movie he thinks is going to be sexy.
Oh, well, brace yourselves. The next film in Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Part 4, now that's what I call dance movies, is none other than Magic Mike.
Okay, thank God.
There you go. You're just talking about freaking...
Billy Elliot.
Chaney. Chaney was in Step Up, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes!
There you go.
Yeah. I think that was his first big movie, right?
Yeah, I think
Step
so.
Up? I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
With his ex-wife. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
Listen, put Step Up on the docket so we can start talk about it.
I'd watch Step Up.
Very good. Yes. Maybe we should do
Is that going to be like the bonus track on the disc?
Or we can do a second Hot Days, Hot Summer, Hot Days, Hot Summer.
Yeah, Volume 2.
Volume
now that's...
Two. Yeah.
All right, well, when we come back, we'll be ripping our clothes off. We'll be doing crazy dance numbers on stage, and we'll be getting them dollar bills, y'all.
Jesus.
When we return, we'll be back with Magic Mike.
Holla, get you. Dollar, get you a holla.
I hear you scream, I hear you cry. It makes me realize that I am only human. The world relies on the balance between love and pride.
We didn't win the contest.
No. But the consolation prize was pretty good.